This is Morning Edition. I'm David Fair. We'd like to welcome you to the February edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Earlier this week, the Great Lakes Commission released its recommendations on how to combat the threat of Asian carp and the invasion of the Great Lakes. The conclusion is the Great Lakes should be fully separated from the Mississippi River system, where the carp already exist in great numbers. Now, there are three different proposals at play. The first, the downriver single barrier option. It would be placed between the confluence of the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal and the CalSag Channel and Lockport Lock. The second, it's a mid-system alternative and would place four separate barriers on Chicago Area Waterway System branches between Lockport and Lake Michigan. The third is a near-lake alternative of up to five barriers that would be closest to the lakeshore. My co-host for this monthly segment is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa Wozniak, welcome to WEMU yet again.
Good morning, David.
And our guest today will be able to give us a good look at the proposals themselves and the reasoning behind the recommendations. Tim Eater is Executive Director of the Great Lakes Commission. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, David.
Tim, you've been on the road this week releasing this report, which has enormous implications for the Great Lakes, as David has pointed out. I'd like to start our conversation by taking a closer look at each of the three proposals and the implication cost-wise, infrastructure-wise, and impact-wise on the downriver, midriver, and near-lake proposals. Can you explain those a little bit more for our listening audience?
Sure. Well, I think as your listeners probably know, we face a really serious threat from the invasion of Asian carp. But this is also about more than just Asian carp. There are other species in the Mississippi River that don't belong in the Great Lakes. In fact, there's been a recent study that identified a total of 10 species in the Mississippi River threatening to move into Lake Michigan. So we think it's important, the best way to protect Lake Michigan and the rest of the Great Lakes from these invaders is to reverse the flow of the Chicago River. It used to flow into Lake Michigan, but back around the turn of the century, in around 1900, the flow of the river was reversed to enable the city to not put its wastewater into Lake Michigan, which is where it received its drinking water. So we've come up with three alternatives, and as David described, the first one is the downriver alternative, and the beauty of that solution is that it can be accomplished with one barrier. But it's complicated by the fact that there are three wastewater treatment plants that deal with the city's waste that are currently discharging their water, and it goes downstream towards the Mississippi. Well, if you reverse the flow downstream at this downriver alternative, those wastewater treatment plants would then be discharging into the water that eventually drains into Lake Michigan. And that was the whole reason for the reversal in the first place back at the turn of the century, was to protect Lake Michigan. So those three wastewater treatment plants would have to upgrade and meet tougher Lake Michigan water quality standards.
And what would this proposal cost, and how much would it cost additional to do the work with the wastewater treatment plants?
Well, the cost, including the wastewater treatment plants, is significant. It's $9.5 billion. However, it's worth noting, David, that the cost of the barriers themselves is relatively inexpensive compared to the $9.6 billion. The cost of the barriers is only between $100 and $150 million. But what we're really talking about is a comprehensive new vision for the city of Chicago and the way it lives with and treats its waterways. We're talking about improving water quality, upgrading those wastewater treatment plants, dealing with transportation, because congestion, everybody that travels through Chicago is aware of the congestion on the railways and roadways, and flood protection. Flooding is a problem. So we took a comprehensive approach, and the costs of dealing with water quality, flood protection, and transportation are what drives that big price tag.
So that's $9.5 billion. That's the most expensive option of the recommendations, correct?
Yeah, actually, the near lake solution with the five barriers is about the same cost.
About the same cost. Well, let's move on to the second proposal, the mid-system alternative.
Yeah, the mid-system alternative is really the one that has the most advantages. It's less than half as expensive. So obviously nobody's going to spend $9.5 billion when there's an option to spend $4.2 billion. The other beauty of the mid-system alternative is two things. One, it puts the barrier downstream away from the lakeshore. People that have visited Chicago might be familiar with the wonderful tours, the boat tours along the river, the architectural tours.
Sure.
And so those wouldn't be impeded by the barrier if it's moved downstream on this mid-system solution.
Now, it would include four separate barriers, correct?
Right. That's the one that's in downtown would be in the city but away from the lakeshore so that the recreational boats and the tour boats are not affected.
Now, would it address the same water quality and wastewater treatment issues as the first plan?
Well, it would, but the reason that it's so much less expensive is that there's only one wastewater treatment plant on the lake side of this barrier. So only one of the plants would have to be upgraded, thus the much cheaper.
And how does that then compare to the nearshore, near the lakeshore proposal?
Yeah, the nearshore alternative is a major challenge because of flood management and transportation. It doesn't have the wastewater treatment plant challenges because the wastewater treatment plants would continue to discharge and flow downstream, sending their waste down to southern Illinois and St. Louis. But this one is complicated by the fact that there are five different outlet points at which this complex waterway system meets Lake Michigan. And so that's a major flood relief valve. And so there would be a system of tunnels and pipes, reservoirs to deal with so we don't flood Wacker Drive and the residents of Chicago. And that would cost a lot of money.
Well, given the fact that each of these has seemingly benefits not only to preventing the invasive species from getting into Lake Michigan, notably the Asian carp, but others, as you've mentioned, but also has potential huge impacts and improvements for the city of Chicago and its infrastructure. Is there one of these three proposals that's being embraced more fully by the powers that be in Chicago?
Well, we just completed our initial research. We completed this engineering study, and we presented the information in the city on Tuesday. Mayor Emanuel was a member of our executive committee, so he provided some real good guidance along the way and has expressed his enthusiasm for the report. It needs to be evaluated in detail. The mayor has not come out and endorsed any particular alternative, but as I said earlier, we think the mid-system, because it's half as expensive, is going to be the one that draws the most attention. The governor of Illinois was also on our executive committee and provided a very positive statement of support for the recommendations and looking further at the details.
Given that each one of these solutions to preventing the Asian carp from getting to Lake Michigan is seemingly very costly, where do the funds come from to pay for this?
Well, you know, it is costly. It's not cheap. But when you think about the value of that Great Lakes fishery, $7 billion in economic activity annually. And so if you just look at that, a one-time expenditure of $4.5 billion that results in these additional benefits to water quality, transportation, and flood protection, I mean, we think it stacks up in favor of the separation. But we didn't actually evaluate where the money should come from or who should pay. We think because the entire Great Lakes system will benefit from protection from invasive species, that a federal investment is justified. But we haven't done the analysis to predict who should pay how much and what the residents of Chicago might pay and the federal government. So we need to do some additional work in that regard.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and you are listening to our First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, along with my co-host Lisa Wozniak. She is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest this morning is Tim Eder, and he is Executive Director of the Great Lakes Commission. Now, as we evaluate the cost of these various alternatives, what is the annual mitigation right now in trying to prevent the carp from getting to the lakes?
Well, we're spending about $50 million on a control strategy, a control plan, which will need to continue indefinitely until a permanent solution is found. There's been, I think another $125 million invested in an electronic barrier, basically an electric fence that is in the bottom of the river that kind of provides the last line of defense. So it's expensive, and that's just for the Asian carp. You know, we've spent hundreds of millions on zebra mussels, and we spend about $20 million annually on sea lamprey, and those are individual species. we need to think about this problem comprehensively, and we need to be looking for a permanent solution that will deal with everything coming up the Mississippi River. These two watersheds need to be separated the way they were originally created, and that's the best way to keep the species where they belong.
Now, there's a parallel track happening within the Army Corps of Engineers. They're also studying what the best alternatives are to preventing the carp from reaching the lakes.
And have been for seemingly forever.
That's right. How does this report sync with what they're doing, and what will the results of their study, do you believe, be?
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers is in a position to actually make a recommendation to Congress. Congress will decide whether or not to fund it. And we've intended all along that our project will help the Corps of Engineers move forward more quickly. We benefited tremendously from data that we got from the Corps, and we'll be sitting down with them to present the details of our findings. They've been very cooperative. We're optimistic that this will enable them to speed up their process.
Well, those of us who live in the Great Lakes know that the water bodies define us. They define not only our natural resources and our experience in the natural resources, but as you've pointed out, they define our economy in multiple ways. But that doesn't mean that the entire Congress believes that that's true. What do you think the political will is to actually moving forward with the kind of proposals you have on the table here?
Well, I'm rather optimistic, actually, Lisa. I mean, we represent all eight of the Great Lakes states, Republican governors, Democratic governors. They all came together, passed a policy resolution, and asked us to go forward and undertake this project. 80 mayors are members of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, our partners in this project. They represent both sides of the aisle. We've worked closely with Senator Stabenow, who is pushing legislation to make this develop, to get the Corps to develop an action plan. Representative Camp, Republican from Michigan, is also pushing similar legislation in the House of Representatives. And I know that Senator Stabenow is working real hard with Republican colleagues to move this forward, and we're pretty optimistic that that'll happen.
Now, she is pushing for an 18-month plan, giving the Army Corps 18 months to develop a final strategy and then find ways to fund it and move forward. Fact of the matter is, it's probably an item that is pretty low on the congressional list of obligations right now. It could take that 18 months to move this forward, then mandate another 18 months of study by the Army Corps. Will the Corps continue its work and progress while this is under consideration in Washington?
Well, they will. They've said that they'll complete their work sometime in late 2015. They know the pressure is on. I mean, the focus of the entire Great Lakes region, and we do have a lot of political clout, even though we are losing population. We do maintain a tremendous amount of political clout. The pressure is on the Army Corps of Engineers to move forward quickly, and they've devoted a large team of engineers and scientists and ecologists to trying to understand and come up with those solutions.
And once the Corps actually makes its recommendation, and assuming that Congress acts, how long will it actually take to achieve the separation, and will it be too late to prevent the carp from reaching the lakes?
Well, we evaluated a timetable for all of these alternatives, and we think our engineers tell us that we can get the first barriers up and operational within 10 years. Now, that's an aggressive timetable, but your question about will it be too late is a good one, Lisa, and that's why we need the efforts that are being put forth now by the Corps, by the U.S. Geologic Survey, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. You know, they're commercially fishing Asian carp, and they're netting. They've taken out 415 million tons of carp from the Illinois River in the last 2 years. So this is kind of holding back the population front. And those efforts are critical, but they seem to be working, and that's buying us time so that we can get a permanent long-term solution in place.
If they should make their way into the lakes, and you're 2 years into the project, does it render it useless?
Well, it doesn't. There are other species that are in the lakes that that we need to protect, the other species in the Mississippi River that we need to protect the lakes from. But also there are these other benefits for water quality, flood protection, and transportation. So the city of Chicago may choose to go in this direction anyway, but it's really those species moving up the Mississippi, whether they're Asian carp or others, are the reason that we need to move forward regardless of what happens with the Asian carp. But I don't want to think about that, frankly, David. It's the scientists tell us that we need to be very concerned if the Asian carp do get established in the Great Lakes.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What are the implications if they do?
Well, the implications are quite drastic. We've seen terrific changes in the lakes just in the last 20 years from zebra mussels and quagga mussels and phragmites and plants and the other 180 species that don't belong here in the lakes. They tell us that Asian carp could pretty basically decimate populations of native fish, particularly in places like Western Lake Erie, Saginaw Bay, Green Bay, that are shallow and productive and have a lot of plant life where the fish would thrive. And we just can't afford to take that risk. You know, unfortunately, we have not taken as good a care of the Great Lakes as they deserve in the past. We're doing a lot better now. We are investing. The Obama administration has put forth a $2 billion restoration project. You've probably talked about that on your program in the past. That's making significant strides in cleaning up the legacy of pollution and restoring habitat and really investing the money that the Great Lakes deserve to be restored and to continue to be that engine for our economy and in our place of nourishment and recreation.
Now, this is an argument that we here in the Great Lakes can obviously buy into, and we certainly want the protections. How do you make that argument to those who represent constituencies in Arizona and Nevada who are facing entirely different water issues?
Well, that's a good question. The one part of the answer to that is that there. I mentioned the study that found 10 species in the Mississippi that are at high risk of invading the Great Lakes. That same study found that there are 29 critters in the Great Lakes that threaten to move down to the Mississippi. So we think that the residents of the Mississippi Basin, which is huge, takes up about a fourth of the country, ought to be concerned and ought to join with us. And they've suffered from zebra mussels, which came from the Great Lakes. So we think we can rally them to get behind our cause.
Well, now the study and the recommendations have been put forth, and as our time winds down, what becomes the next step in this process?
Well, we present the information to the Army Corps of Engineers. As I said, we hope that they will use it to accelerate, move forward more quickly with their study. We're working closely with Congress to get Congress to pass a law that will give the Corps a deadline for developing this action plan. And we're working really closely with the City of Chicago and the officials that run the waterway in the City of Chicago and Cook County to explain our recommendations and hopefully get them to embrace them and move forward and put them into action.
People often want to know, what can I do as an individual citizen? And polling shows here in Michigan that this issue is at the top of people's lists of concerns as it pertains to natural resources, invasive species, and notably Asian carp. Huge issue for people. What can they do to help push this process forward?
Well, to push this particular process forward, one of the things that people can do is encourage Senator Stabenow and Senator Levin to advance their legislation and to encourage them to work across the aisle. I mean, they really need to line up some Republican partners to move this forward. Our representatives, Congressman Dingell, Dave Camp, are generally supportive, but again, they need to be encouraged to move forward quickly and find Republican support and get this put into place.
Tim, I thank you so much for your time and for the information today. I really appreciate it.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you, David.
That is Tim Eater, Executive Director of the Great Lakes Commission. I'd like to take time to thank my co-host as well. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa, we'll see you in March.
I look forward to it.
I'm David Fair, thanking you for joining us for this month's First Friday Focus on the Environment, an exclusive presentation of the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.